It's 6:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. New Mexico State Land Commissioner Stephanie Garcia-Richard has halted further oil and natural gas development on New Mexico State Trust lands near the Chaco Cultural National Historic Park that are considered sacred by many Native Americans. The move places a drilling moratorium within a buffer zone surrounding Chaco Canyon and its ancient dwelling. The moratorium does not directly affect federal and private holdings. Oil industry representatives say robust protections are already in place within the National Park at Chaco Canyon and surrounding areas. Garcia-Richard calls the move a huge step forward in safeguarding archaeological and cultural resources. On the Tuesday Health Watch, cancer of the esophagus, the tube that goes from your throat to your stomach, it's on the rise in the U.S. and affects mostly older men, and it's often diagnosed in later stages. KERA's Sam Baker talked about this with Dr. Vani Kanda, a gastroenterologist with Baylor University.
Worldwide, esophageal squamous cell carcinoma is the most common type. In United States and Western countries, the most common type of esophageal cancer is something called esophageal adenocarcinoma.
Adenocarcinoma is said to be on the rise in the U.S. and other parts of the Western world.
Meaning the number of cases that have been diagnosed over the past several decades at a rate of about sevenfold. So on the order of about 15,000 people who are diagnosed with esophageal cancer every year. And that type of cancer is related to reflux disease, which we all know is very common.
GERD or acid reflux?
Heartburn. It actually is one of the most common reasons people go visit the doctor. Almost a quarter of people in this country take antacids or some sort of anti-reflux medication on a regular basis.
Is that a first sign?
Fortunately, it's not the first sign of esophageal cancer. We know that those people who have chronic reflux disease, meaning symptoms that bother them on a more daily basis over longer periods of time as opposed to more intermittent symptoms, are a risk factor for esophageal cancer. Patients who have well-controlled reflux, they take PPIs or proton pump inhibitors or acid suppression medicines for several years. Those patients are also at risk.
Some of the other risk factors for esophageal cancer?
Male gender, older age, Caucasian race, family history of esophageal cancer, smoking history, and central obesity, or what we call fat distribution around the central part of the body, more like an apple-shaped body as opposed to a pear-shaped body.
Some of those other risk factors can be choices. So is esophageal cancer a type of illness that can be prevented?
Those patients that have multiple risk factors for esophageal cancer may be recommended by their doctor to get what we call a screening upper endoscopy. A lighted camera at the end of a scope goes through the mouth and down the esophagus into the stomach. And we can see if there's any changes in the esophagus that might be a precursor lesion for esophageal cancer. That change is called Barrett's esophagus, something that might occur after years of reflux. And instead of the esophagus healing like it's supposed to, it actually heals like the lining in the stomach or like the lining in the intestine. It doesn't cause symptoms in and of itself, but it is a precursor lesion for esophageal cancer. And so those patients that might have been identified with Barrett's esophagus might go on to get monitoring for any precancerous change so we can find esophageal cancer at earlier stages where it might be curable or even preventable stages when we get the precancerous lesions.
Which is important. This disease is often caught in later stages.
Most of the patients who are diagnosed with esophageal cancer don't know that they had Barrett's esophagus. And then it's a very small subset of those patients that will get esophageal cancer. An upper endoscopy may not benefit everyone in the population. So we have to actually choose who might benefit the most. And right now we choose patients who have the multiple risk factors, as I mentioned earlier. But not all of those patients are getting screening endoscopies. And if they do, not all of those patients benefit from that.
Are we any closer to turning that around in somehow, some way?
We are looking at non-endoscopic screening devices and tools. And so it may be that one day we will go on to have a screening tool that could be used at a broader level that might include a device like swallowing a capsule with a tissue collection device on that. It might include other markers for disease. All of those areas are being actively investigated.
In the meantime, what can the public do to avoid esophageal cancer or to keep an eye out for it?
If someone does have multiple risk factors, those would be reasons to talk to your doctor about a screening endoscopy. Another thing, if you do have symptoms of trouble swallowing, weight loss, or if, for example, anyone ever throws up blood, those kinds of things would warrant medical evaluation.
Dr. Vanikonda, thank you for being with me.
It's been a pleasure.